Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of Revelation chapter 7, we were talking about those that will be saved during the tribulation and beheaded for witnessing for the Lord. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
In Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, it says it this way, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God." Now notice what they're beheaded for. The witness of Jesus. They preached Jesus as the only way. Today, that message is hated. When you tell people there are not many roads to heaven, by being a good Hindu, by being a good Jew, by being a good Muslim, by being a good whatever, you can go to heaven. It's not just through Christ alone. They hate the message of Christ alone. And the day's going to come, it'll be in the tribulation, where people will be beheaded for that witness and for the word of God. You say, why do you take a stand on the King James Bible? Because it's from the right text, the Textus Receptus and the Masoretic text. And, you know, those were the texts used for over 1,500 years until in the later 1800s, a couple men started searching around and finding different texts in monasteries and other places and decided, wait a minute, even though these texts leave out portions of Scripture, and even though they are adding new Scriptures and adding even entire books, we decided that we're going to believe in them. And so they decided to translate that, put their own, cut it down, and make it their own new text. And you have today, in English, nearly 200 translations from those texts that were corrupted texts. The Textus Receptus has over 5,400 texts. What about these others? I'm about 47. But you see, that's what's going to happen in the day of the tribulation. They want to finally get down to a corrupted religious book for all the people. When they have their corrupted religious book and others want to stick to the Word of God, they're going to be beheaded. And so they're beheaded for the witness of Jesus, Revelation 24 says, and for the Word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. In other words, they didn't become ecumenical and join in with the movement. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. They thought, well, maybe these 7 years of suffering, that this tribulation on earth, my death, the little bit I suffer here, is worth it for 1,000 years of reigning here on earth, and then after that, into the eternal reign of Christ. It was well worth it for them. Isn't it interesting they used beheading in Saudi Arabia back in December of 2007, is the last time I checked this, but back then, they were beheading over 100 people annually, and that was just one country. And they are saved, those people in the tribulation, just as anyone in our dispensation today gets saved. That is, by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, their robes are washed white in the blood of the Lamb. And they are new creatures, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Oh, yes, when you get saved, there's a changed life. They repent and believe the gospel. In Acts 20 and 21, it says, "Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." That gospel of repentance and faith is for both Jews, we're told there, and the Greeks or the Gentiles. I find it interesting that the Old Testament prophets preached repentance. Jesus, who actually was still living under the law, in his earthly ministry preached repentance. And these apostles all preached repentance. It's repentance, but not just repentance, repentance and faith. Now, I know some people say, well, Pastor, I've seen scriptures that only mention faith and don't say a thing about repentance for salvation. And that's true. I've also seen and even shared in this seventh chapter some scriptures with you that mention repentance and never mention faith about salvation. Yet, I don't think that you'd say, oh, yeah, you can repent but not have faith. Okay? So, repentance is the willingness for Christ to take my sin from me. See, there are men, we find in John chapter 3, that love darkness rather than light, and they didn't want it taken from them. And so, repentance is saying, I can't take my sin away. I can't do anything about my sin. But repentance is an attitude of my heart. That's why we repent. We don't do penance. It's repentance. Christ does the work. And then faith. It's relying upon Christ. Just not believing the fact, but trusting Him with our lives. You see, it's not faith that saves us, nor repentance. It's Jesus Christ that saves us, but He saves us through repentance and faith in Him. Again, repentance and faith is not a work. Jesus does all the work. And so the question comes, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? I can't help but to think that the preaching of the 144,000 mentioned earlier brought so many of these people that are martyred to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And what a glorious scene this is here in Revelation 7 in heaven, in contrast to this scene on earth of tribulation and the scene in hell of torment and fire. The tribulation will be terrible with death and destruction of man and land and air and sea, and over half of earth's population will die in a period of 7 years. And at this present earthly population, that will probably come out to right near 3 billion people. For the Christian, there are two verses that stand out and that are especially important and wonderful. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, it says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul." All those people in the tribulation period will realize, if I turn to Christ, it may mean I get my head cut off. And they're told, don't fear those which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. That's why missionaries go on even into dangerous areas, knowing that that could happen. But they do it, because those people can only destroy the body, but not the body and soul. In Romans 8:17-18, it says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if is a conditional word, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon, boy, that reckon sounds like a southern word, doesn't it? For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. You know, when you reckon something, it's like you make it agree with the standard. You make it agree with the actual standard. And the sufferings of this present time, you think of these people that can't buy, sell, or trade. Some of them will literally starve to death. Some will be tortured to death. Some of them will be beheaded. And those sufferings are great. And yet, as great as they are, they seem minute in their greatness compared to the greatness of the glory that these people will have in heaven. And so, my friend, as a Christian in this day in which we live before the rapture, just think about that. The greatness of the glory is such that you shouldn't worry about what family or people in your neighborhood or anywhere else think about your witnessing for Jesus Christ and about your separation from the world and from sin and unrighteousness. Don't worry about what they think about that. Whatever suffering they can bring upon you, even if it costs you jobs, even if it costs you other things of embarrassment, don't worry, because any time they do something to you, all they do, as you remain righteous and keep a right heart and attitude, is build your reward in heaven. And the very folks that hated you are the very folks that will cause the glory of your inheritance to be all the more greater in heaven. Maybe someday you ought to thank those people. Yes, my friend, I remember Bill Harvey many years ago singing, "We'll sing and shout o'er every mile, and the Lamb will dry our tears, and we'll have great grand homecoming week, the first 10,000 years. Oh, won't that be great? My friend, Satan on earth has control via the Antichrist, but he doesn't have complete control because God only lets him do what he can do. And when Satan is allowed to do his thing, there'll be great hunger, great thirst, bloody waters, pestilence, war, wild beasts, sun scorching, and great tribulation. But verse 16 said, the sun nor heat would hurt them anymore. That global warming will come to this earth, but it won't come by the gases that cows put off. It will come when God pours judgment upon the earth. And those who die without Christ will have more heat than we can imagine, because they'll have the fires of hell. Again, I believe that these souls gathered around the throne are those that were under the altar in chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Verse 15 says, therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. He on the throne dwells among them. Who's on the throne? Our Lord. Now, apart from the mention in chapter 3, verse 12, this is the first direct mention of the temple of God in heaven. And it is apparently distinct from the throne. But in the eternal state, which we'll see in chapter 21, verse 22, where it says, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it, that's talking about the New Jerusalem. And the New Jerusalem we won't see till chapter 21. But that doesn't mean that the temple ceases. It just means that there won't be a temple in the New Jerusalem. But there is a temple in heaven. And day and night in this temple, oh, what an exalted place they have. We're reminded of Psalms 23 and verse 6, where it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the Lamp and Light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.